And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is Thursday, March 19th, our latest installment of the Coronavirus Daily Update. And we are joined on the phone by representatives of the Petersburg Medical Center. Hopefully we have our phone figured out today. Hi, can you hear us today?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, great. Welcome. We also have Erica Klute-Painter here in the studio from the Petersburg School District. And one note, today the Petersburg pilot has asked to take part in these daily updates with questions as well. So I received some email questions from Ron at the Petersburg pilot. And maybe I'll start off with those if we could today. First off, he is asking, does the Petersburg borough have a designated public health officer? If not, who is designated to fill those duties? I guess we might not have a borough representative to answer that at the moment, but maybe we'll work on that one. He also is asking who distributes and resupplies coronavirus screening kits for use in Petersburg. I'm assuming he means testing kits, differentiating here between screening and testing, but testing kits for use in Petersburg.
Hi, this is Jenna. I'm a nurse and a clinic manager at the Petersburg Clinic. And we are ordering our test kits through our usual supplier, and I'm not quite sure what else he'd want to know, but we have test kits.
Who distributes those and resupplies those? That's all through the medical center, right?
It's all through the medical center.
Right. Okay. There's no other entities doing that, I don't think, right?
Not at this time.
Okay. While we have you on the phone, can you give the latest update from the Petersburg Medical Center? What's new and different today?
Sure. So far we've tested three people, and one test has come back, and it was negative. We are working on making sure people call in before they come in. So if you have a scheduled appointment, we are calling to screen you before you come in. And if you are needing to, like, pick up a prescription or pick up your records, please call us, and we will screen you and get you what you need. We just want to stop the traffic of people just walking into the clinic, and we want to be able to screen who's coming through. And you can go ahead and call the clinic at 772-4299 if you would like to talk to cancel your appointment or reschedule. We can help you out.
Okay. Are you making decisions about just routine visits and other procedures or things done at the medical center being put off at this point?
Yes, we are. We are having our providers look through their schedules and kind of determine who is a priority to be seen, and who can have a phone appointment, and who can be maybe, you know, seen in a few months. So we're just trying to go through and see, prioritize our patients, talk with our patients, let them know what's going on. And we just are trying to be, you know, very diligent and safe, because we want to be able to have a safe place for people to come if they need care, but we need to screen you first.
Okay. I have other questions that listeners have submitted and my own questions, and I'll maybe just throw these out, and whoever there from Medical Center can answer them, please jump on the line. First is, if you are a confirmed positive, how long after the symptoms go away are you still considered contagious?
At this time, I would say things are changing so rapidly, and I would refer to the CDC. There is a handout on there that says what to do if you are sick, and at this time, they are saying that the decision to discontinue home isolation precautions should be made on a case-by-case basis in consultation with healthcare providers and state and local health departments.
Okay. Another question was on quarantine etiquette for someone who is self-quarantining just after travel and keeping away from others. But a mother of college students returning to town was wondering, you know, how is she supposed to act? Is she not supposed to hug her returning son coming back to town, isolate from him for that same 14 days? Or if she doesn't do that, is she supposed to then quarantine? What are the recommendations there?
So I will answer this to the best of my ability, based on the information that I've read from the CDC. And with returning students and family members, I know it's you're so excited to see your loved ones, and we want to hug and you know, do that. But do a little air hug. Make sure you're 6 feet apart. And you really need to, if it's possible, have a designated area for that person. And if you have a designated bathroom they can use, that would be great. Limit your, you know, stay 6 feet apart, try to keep your windows open, monitor your symptoms, and, you know, maybe in 14 days, you're good to go. But even in 14 days, if you haven't had any symptoms, you still need to be aware of being out in public, limiting who you're interacting with, and staying 6 feet away, and still monitoring all the guidelines that are recommended when you decide to go out in public.
Okay. Another question from on our Facebook site. Someone asks whether they can know the answer or the questions for screening beforehand. Can you give out those questions before a person goes in and is screened to come into the medical center?
You know, whoever said that, that's a really good idea.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, we're all trying to work together, and things are changing so rapidly that I'm, you know, that's a great suggestion. I think that's a good idea. We could put that up on our website and on our Facebook. And if you guys, if people, you know, are calling in, you could have that already, those questions answered. And we could just kind of go over it with you just to make sure that we're both on the same page. But I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Another question was, how many beds does the Petersburg Medical Center have in general, I guess, for treating just treating patients when that happens?
Well, at this time, we would that's all going to shift, and we'll have to talk about how we're going to do that when we start having an influx of inpatients.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how that's going to work, I assume, with isolating them versus long-term care residents and that kind of thing?
Right. So long-term care, yes, they would, that would be separated. They are separated right now. We're asking that visitors do not come in to visit. If you would like to talk with your long-term care relative, you can call. I think they're trying to set up video. And we're just trying to keep our elderly population safe, and we would definitely be setting up barricades to protect them.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jenna. Stay on the line, if you would, please. We're going to move on to the school district. Erica Klute-Painter is here with me in the studio, and what's the latest update from the school district standpoint?
Well, the latest update from the school standpoint is we are, I've been calling in and communicating daily with the hospital group just to kind of stay in the loop there and ask some questions. They're also wanting to keep us informed and aware of kind of the changing recommendations. The travel questions are definitely coming fast and furious related to students coming back to town who are currently enrolled, as well as, just as Jenna referred to, college kids coming home, because we also have a lot of staff members who have college age children of their own who are asking those same kind of questions. So we are trying to follow the lead of the hospital and their guidance. So things are restricting, honestly, by the day for that. So we are preparing to have each day fewer and fewer people that will be really coming on site next week. So next week, as we discussed, is an extended spring break for students, so they are not expected to be doing any schoolwork next week. That will change on March 30th, so they'll be checking their emails and staying up to date, and we'll be reaching out to them individually throughout next week, so just be prepared for that. That's also for parents to just know that we're going to be doing that in lots of different ways, so emails, and phone calls and communication that way. We're also working on a system that will be pushing out notifications via text in addition. And so that should be up and running next week as well. And that's just going to be some global informational kinds of text that'll be short and quick. So if you're getting surveys from us requesting information, please fill those out. We're trying to help gauge how many students and families have access to internet from home and just looking at those distance delivery kinds of options. So if you're a parent out there and you're getting emails from us, please check those links. Please fill out the surveys and know that you're going to be getting communication directly from your child's teacher next week. So just rest assured of that, and also reassure your children that they'll be hearing from their teachers as well. The other thing is we've been meeting with our bus service and food service on the meal plan. We are prepared to start that meal plan and delivery service and on-site pickup on Monday, March 23rd. So even though students are still on spring break, we will be starting our food service and delivery service on Monday. We will post that and email that all over the place when we get the exact times and locations, but we're very close. So I would say by tomorrow, Friday, you'll be seeing specific times, locations, where you can go, what you should do when you're there. We'll have some friendly faces greeting students at those sites and probably organizing kids 6 feet apart and all that. So just know that kids will be seeing some friendly and familiar faces out there for food distribution coming in the next week as well.
That will likely be pickup versus delivery on the bus route or something?
It's going to be a combination of both, okay. Actually. Yep. We've got a plan for people on our bus and Hoopy's route. This is for people who know these routes. We'll get you more details, but Hoopy's route will be basically the same as it currently is, actually, and then we'll have probably 6 locations around town that will be pickup spots, and we'll get the specifics out. I'll probably have exactly what you need tomorrow at 12:30 here, and then posting all over the place about what that's going to look like. So
okay, and then the plan is still for staff to return Monday to start preparing.
It will be limited staff, yes. Okay. So we are also working on that. Due to the travel recommendations that continue to change and kind of clamp down a little bit, it's changing. So the numbers are getting smaller of who we're actually going to be having in buildings next week. But we're really fortunate we have good infrastructure with technology. We Zoom all over the place. We're all about Zoom, so and conference calls and all those kinds of things. So we're getting that information out to staff as well. So people on staff who are out there listening in Radio Land just know it's coming. We don't have every single answer, so be patient. That's also for our families and students. Be patient. And we're all working our way through this, but we're going to figure it out.
Do you have the capability for a teacher returning from travel who's self-isolating for that 14 days? Can they teach from home online?
They can. Yeah. And we're, as we said from the beginning, you know, some age groups and classes lend themselves better to that. And of course, our older students are quite used to this world because that's their world, and they travel and there are already expectations and platforms in place for them. So they're very used to it. Middle school will be some changes there. And of course, we'll have a plan for deploying technology to students, moving down that chain, I guess is what I would say. Our youngest students, we are working on the technology end, but we are less concerned at this point about the technology and more concerned about making sure we're reaching out to them in very creative ways. That is the most important guidance we're getting, especially for younger kids. They just want to hear their teachers' voices. They want to maybe see them on a little email screencast, that kind of thing. We have lots of options for that. So we want to build on the communication first and slowly work through the academic needs as they come. So just try not to be overwhelmed out there. Actually, that's another piece of advice for parents. Please don't think that everything that's posted online you need to be doing with your kids. They don't need to be doing virtual field trips 15 hours a day. We're going to help you through it. So
okay. All right. And then have you made a final decision about distance learning versus on campus at this point?
At this point, we are moving forward with the assumption that March 30th, we will begin distance.
Okay.
So I don't know. We just had another teleconference last night with input from the governor, and There's no specific guidance about what that will look like as a state after March 30th, although I know there's a number of districts who are extending already by a week. I'm just looking at that two-week window from a spring vacation. So that's a possibility for us as well. But we're looking at March 30th, some sort of distance delivery is going to start. And also just for families to know, you will be contacted by a teacher next week.
Okay.
So just look forward to that.
All right. Great. Thank you, Erica. Mm-hmm. I think we do have Sandy Dixon on line one. Are you there, Sandy?
I am here. Sorry about being late.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. What's the latest from the Petersburg Borough standpoint?
So I don't have a huge update, and sorry I was late. I got tangled up in another teleconference. I did post or had someone post on the Borough Facebook page and the Borough webpage information regarding the declaration and some general information about COVID-19, a little bit of background, a little bit of history, things that individuals can do to help themselves. I also scheduled a teleconference for the LAPC committee tomorrow at 11 so that businesses can give updates on what they're doing. It's not a town hall meeting. If people want to call in, we could probably let it limited people call in. My excuse me, intention is to take some notes and then put another briefing out to the community. I've also approached the borough about trying to do some type of public briefing so that they know we're actually doing things, because I have heard that's a little bit of contention is people don't feel like they're getting enough information. So if I can help with that. And then Matt Lichtenstein informed me that someone asked a question about the health officer. Did you get that answered?
Didn't yet. So the question was from Petersburg Pilot. Does the Petersburg Borough have a designated public health officer? If not, who is designated to fill those duties?
So Dr. Tusillo was appointed or reappointed as the health officer. It's a position that is appointed on an as-needed basis. He was our health officer the last time we needed one, so he has been reappointed for the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, great. And you mentioned the borough website. There are a number of announcements there from the various departments, too, in terms of service and people access to various departments, calling first, and changes that are expected. For instance, Petersburg Borough utility customers, there are temporarily suspending door hangs, service disconnects for non-payment, and not be assessing late payment fees for the next 2 months. That announcement made yesterday. It does not relieve utility customers from paying for utility services, but will reduce worry about disconnections. So that's one example of some of the announcements you can find about borough services. Any other notes from the borough standpoint, Sandy?
Just what has been posted on the Facebook page. I know that some department heads are going to have a teleconference today to make sure that we're all on the same page and see what else we can do to help alleviate some concern in the community. And so I'm sure as a result of that meeting, we'll be putting some more information out.
Okay, so hopefully, maybe if you are done with your LEPC meeting tomorrow, by the 12:30 time, you can call in. If you can't, we'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks, Sandy.
All right, thanks, Joe.
I'm going to try to get another caller on the line here. Caller on line three, do you have a question or comment?
Hi, this is Liz Bacom. I work at the hospital, and I'm the infection preventionist. And I've been out of town and over in Europe actually for the last 3 weeks. I just got back into town today, and when we were over there, we were in Denmark. Denmark was the first European country that completely shut down their borders, and we almost got caught in Sweden, but got out. But it's very interesting to see how quickly and proactive Denmark was in trying to flatten the curve so that their citizens were safe. And I feel like Alaska is doing the same thing early and is proactive. No matter when you start, you always feel like you're late to the game. And so we all have to do our part to help make this a successful, hopefully for our community, that we don't have community transmission of this virus. The World Health Organization has has some great information, and one of the things they're promoting is the five tips, and it's hands, elbow, face, feet, and feel. Hands, wash them often. And a comment on hand gel. Hand gel has to have 60% alcohol or more, or it may not be as effective. So the stuff you get from cosmetic sources may not be enough. When you wash with soap and water or use hand gel a lot, your hands dry out. And when that happens, there are cracks and crevices where things can get caught. And even careful washing with soap and water with really dry hands, you may not get them as clean as they need to be. So I recommend that people use a hand lotion twice a day, just to make sure that their hands, there aren't any small imperfections in the skin. Elbow, cough in your elbow, sneeze in your elbow, and when that happens, try to go wash your hands away right away after that. Face, don't touch. This is a human nature, really difficult for all of us. I'm included in this. We all touch our face, and so I put a challenge out to people in the community. We help each other with that. Hey, don't do that, or you know, kind of remind people that you know, in kind ways that touching your face puts you at risk for giving yourself an infection. Feet. So 3 feet is the minimum distance. They recommend actually 6 feet distance from other people if you can. That was extremely, extremely difficult when we were traveling, except in Denmark. Everybody was like walking on the opposite side of street, but going through an airport, it's very difficult when you're standing in line waiting for your passport to get stamped. Those are challenging moments where you just sort of watch everybody, and like I posted on Facebook, I heard every cough on the plane, I think. So try to keep a social distance, but that doesn't mean you're stuck inside. Get out, walk around, ride a bike, do things, get your head clear. I saw a lot of people outside walking and riding bikes over there and here in Petersburg today. Such a great day to come back home. The last thing is feel. Feel sick, stay home. And that's another hard one because we are all loyal to our employers. And especially when there's a lot of coworkers that are out sick, you feel obligated to go and try to push through the illness. And you actually could have a very mild case of this virus, that COVID-19, and not realize that's what you have. And there are there's information out there that you can be as infectious with super mild symptoms. In other words, your viral load could be very high even though you are not feeling that sick, especially if you're younger. So it's very important to stay home if you feel sick. And of course, if you've traveled like I have, you want to stay home for 14 days. That is recommendations by CDC, World Health Organization, in the state of Alaska. Now, the last thing I want to say is for the employers in this community that are staying open for business in one way or the other, or they just need to have their offices staffed, it's very important to recognize what high-touch surfaces are in your work area and look for ways to clean them appropriately. I use the who, what, when, where, how, why. Who cleans? Anybody who uses anything or anybody who stocks a shelf. They should make sure that that area has been all cleaned really well. What's cleaned? A high-touch area is considered anything where more than one person touches it or it is used a number of times in a short amount of time by one person. And I'm looking at my cell phone, and it's looking at me saying I'm dirty. So your cell phone, high-touch object, your telephone, doorknobs, handrails, all of those things can be harbors of this virus. Duration of that on the surface is not certain, but we just want to assume that everything is dirty. How you clean, there are products out there that you can use. You can make your own bleach water solution. I am available if any employer, any business owner would like some assistance on that. You can get over-the-counter Lysol wipes or Clorox wipes, and they work well. But what's important is the contact time that the liquid cleaner is on the surface is very important. If you just wipe it and then dry it and let it go, and within a matter of less than 10 seconds, you may not be cleaning the surface appropriately. So it's important that you, I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but it's really important to know with the product that you're using, the manufacturer's recommendations for using it. And if you have to wear gloves while you use that product, then you don't want to injure your skin on your hands, so that, you know, that defeats the purpose too. So, and then, of course, why we clean is just to keep everybody healthy.
Sure. So, great information. Thank you, Liz. Is there a phone number people could call if businesses are interested in finding out more from you about cleaning and stuff?
Sure. My cell phone number is 518-0808.
Okay, 0808. Great information. Thank you for it. And call back tomorrow and in future shows, too.
Yep, it's good to be home. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz.
Bye.
And a couple other callers here. Hello, caller on line one. You're on. Is that you, Dave?
I'm on air. Yeah, it's Dave Burke.
Hey, Dave, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. You had some questions. I thought I'd weigh in on what was going on with the cruise ship industry.
Yeah.
And basically, it's kind of a wait and see kind of thing. Our big the largest ships that we get, the 500 passenger or so, like the Roald Amundsen from Hurtigruten, and a couple of the smaller ones, the Solas vessels, we call them, because they are under federal guidelines for transportation here into Southeast Alaska. They have to follow customs rules, and those vessels are affected because they've gone down to Vancouver and turned around and have come back. And Vancouver is a closed port now until June 30th. The reason they do that is that there is a prohibition against coastwise travel for foreign vessels. And these are the foreign vessels we're talking about with those lines. And there could be some movement on a federal basis or on the federal level for changing or modifying or making a waiver in the Jones Act that would allow those vessels to go to Seattle and turn around rather than having to stop in Vancouver. It's a kind of a wait and see game. The big ships are looking for places to park their vessels right now, and Carnival did announce that that some of their vessels are going to be available as hospital vessels, hospital ships for some of their patients. I know that that was announced on a federal basis this morning, and they're also parking some of those vessels in other places that will take them, Puerto Vallarta, for instance, and when they don't have any passengers on them. For the smaller ships that we see with Lindblad and Alaska Dream Cruises, some of the uncruised vessels stop in here, they are just kind of looking at Alaska as being, you know, presently on the schedule. But time will tell. It's a little early in the game to forecast as to what they're going to do. I've emailed some people with Lindblad, and they're so busy with their present arrangement or present, entertaining and worrying about the safety of their own guests on board right now that they don't really have time to think about Alaska. So it's still up in the air as to what's going to happen. I think the industry as a whole is kind of worried about this being prolonged. And, you know, we're getting some calls, our tour clients that are coming to Alaska with Viking Travel and Alaska Ferry Vacations are they're on standby. Basically, we've postponed their final payment, and instead of 60 days prior, we're working with 30 days prior now. They are going to be able to postpone their trip to later in the summer or even next year, and we will apply their payments towards, you know, that type of travel. The ferry system is still on call to start up mid-April with the Columbia out of out of Bellingham on the Bellingham to Whittier run. So that's kind of the summary of what we've got with the cruise ship industry and visitor industry this summer.
Dave, if I remember right, the first ship that's scheduled to call in Petersburg is not till sometime in May, right?
That's correct. Early May is their first vessel.
Okay. And so still no change on that, but to be determined.
That's correct, yeah. I could see that there might be some consolidation in numbers, in ships. You know, perhaps they'll try to move, you know, groups of people that maybe not operate a ship until it's, you know, more or less full. If they get a lot of cancellations, they may cancel, you know, 1 week and just leave the vessel sitting in a, you know, in Juneau or someplace along the way. Those are all, you know, like possibilities. So we don't know anything firm yet.
Okay. Thanks for the update, Dave, and keep us posted.
Sure will. Yep. Thanks, Joe.
Yep. Take care. Let's have one more caller, I believe. Caller on line two, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here. I thought we should taper this thing off with a little lighter note. Some of us of a certain age can remember being quarantined before in the early 50s. I got quarantined for a whole summer to stay away from the polio virus up in Juneau. Mm-hmm. And I was just on the docks this morning and the vernacular down there, the new name for this coronavirus or COVID-19, it's got so many names, it's easier just to remember it as the Boomer Doomer.
What did you do that summer when you were quarantined?
Oh, I don't know. I remember playing in the sun and chasing salmon in the creek. And yeah, I don't remember it being bad at all. It was
okay.
It was a good summer. Well, and the last thing I was thinking, that the stock market has just gone all to pot, so this is an ideal time to buy baby stuff, diaper stocks, and all of that, because in 9 months there's going to be a big demand for this.
I like you're thinking ahead. That's good. Thanks.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thanks for the perspective.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Go around the horn real quickly. If Jenna from the medical center is still with us, any further updates from Petersburg Medical Center?
Yep, I have a few more things for everybody. So for Saturday clinic, it's usually a walk-in clinic for Saturday morning, and I'd like to just say, please call. Do not walk into the clinic. Please call us, and we will screen you before you come. Petersburg Medical Center would like to let everybody know that we would like you to follow the following travel guidelines, and we highly recommend that anyone who has traveled outside of Petersburg in the last 14 days contact your employer, discuss plan prior to returning to work, determine if you can work from home, stay at home for 14 days after arriving back to Petersburg, avoid contact with other household members, must avoid crowded places and public activities, monitor for symptoms twice daily, and give us a call if you are having symptoms.
Okay, great.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not done.
Keep going.
So if you're needing more information, please go to the PMC webpage or to the Facebook page. The coronavirus hotline number is 907-772-5788. The laboratory is requesting for routine blood draws that you please call the lab reception at 772-5756 between 9 and 12 to get an appointment so we know when you're coming in, we can screen you beforehand and get your blood drawn. The other thing that the lab is no longer performing is routine spirometry tests and breath alcohol tests. And they will not be doing walk-in labs for the general public on Saturdays.
All right. Great. Does that cover it from your end?
I think so. We have Erin here for public health, and she has an update.
Okay, great. Erin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got a...
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, sorry. I just got out of a meeting and got updates from the state on new numbers. And if you go to the State of Alaska website, you can see that for COVID. Our numbers have now increased to 9 in the state. 4 of them were added for Anchorage. So far, to the best of our knowledge, all of the cases that have been in Alaska are travel-related, so someone that has been traveling in the lower 48 and returned. So those are the latest information from the state. Also, something new that's on the website for COVID, where the counts are, is the number of tests that have been done in the state and also commercially. So if you want to see how much has been done in the state for that, it's a new graphic that's showing up on their webpage when you click on the counts. So if you would like to get updated information on that, visit the Alaska Epi COVID website.
We have a link on our website, probably PMC does, and the borough, I imagine, too, or for that state website link. So,
yes. Okay. So you can go to any of those, just click on it, and then it'll take you right there.
Great. All right. Any other further input on keeping yourself clean and healthy?
Just yes. Stay home if you're sick. I know everybody keeps saying this, but if you're having any signs or symptoms, we cannot emphasize it enough. If you are not feeling well, please, please stay home to protect others and your family and your fellow community members.
Okay. And we do have one other caller. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Hey, this is Harvey Gilliland. I've got a couple of silly questions, I guess. I'm wondering if coronavirus is exactly the same as COVID-19, and is there a COVID-18 and a COVID-20?
Good question. So I'll put that to the public health officials on the line. Erin, are you still there?
I'm still here. So as far as COVID-18 or below, I couldn't speak for that, but coronavirus, when people are saying coronavirus and COVID-19, we're talking very similar. The coronavirus is just the name of the type of virus, and the coronavirus 19 is the fact that it was from 2019 when we first noticed it popping up. But there have been other coronaviruses that they've noticed in the past. SARS and MERS are the main ones that we hear about. If you have time, there's a really great podcast called This Podcast Will Kill You. I know it sounds scary, but it's got some really good information for the general public, and you can learn all about different viruses and bacteria, and they have a really good special on coronavirus that you can hear all about.
For a while, I think we in the media called this the novel coronavirus, acknowledging that there were many more before this, but that kind of has dropped out in the recent weeks because people know we're talking about this latest one, I think.
Yes, I think you're right.
Okay. And is it right to say that so the coronavirus is the virus itself? Is COVID-19 the disease you get from that virus?
The coronavirus is a virus, and the 19 is specifying what the virus is that they discovered in 2019.
Okay.
And it's easier for us to say COVID than having to say coronavirus all the time. So I think that's why people are just reference COVID a lot.
Harvey, does that help?
I guess. So evidently they are basically the same, coronavirus and COVID-19.
Yes, and there were many more beforehand.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much.
Stay healthy, Harvey.
I'm trying.
All right. Thanks. Erica Klute-Painter, School District, any other further updates or things we missed?
No, I don't think so. I think just one last reminder to all of our kids who are on that extended spring break that we just want to continue to encourage. It's not just hangout time with your pals, much as you'd like to do that, especially with the sunshine. We really want to, limit or get on those social hangouts and house party or whatever they're called. There's a bunch of ones I'm learning about in my own house with my daughter. So there are ways to stay connected with your friends without being in the same room. So please, please observe the social distancing and just kind of isolating from others. So
Status of activities going forward, sports, but also is esports a possibility this spring?
It's still esports is one of the ones that's kind of on the to be determined. But at this point, the calendar is just on hold. So the state event, as people probably already know, for basketball and cheerleading has been canceled officially. It's no longer postponed. It's actually been canceled. And Billy Strickland, the executive director of ASSA this morning, did tell us on our 7:30 teleconference just that he there's some things that they're planning to do as far as recognizing students and their performance at regionals, because if people didn't know, our basketball teams, both Lady Vikings, or the Vikings and the Lady Vikings, both won regionals this year. So kind of got lost in the shuffle of all the insanity that's going on. So there's clearly no state opportunity, so they'll be getting some of the things that would have gone to them. It's, out to them. So
recognition. Sure.
Yeah.
And how about the other seasons, though? Baseball and track, are those on? Those are just on hold.
They're on hold for now, but unlikely at this point. But we'll keep you posted on that.
I can't imagine. Well, if schools are not having on-campus class, I can't imagine they'd have on-campus competition.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all very much. This has been our latest update. We'll be back tomorrow with our next one at 12:30. Coming up next, Street Beat Music.